most of us, if not many of us, we're familiar with the term or the phrase back in the day or back in my day. Familiar with that term. Typically, it's an older person speaking to a younger person, typically talking about something they used to be able to do. Like, back in my day, you know, I could play basketball all day and wake up the next morning. And at that point, you wish you had a time machine to tell they never could play. But, you know, or back in my day, we went to school uphill both ways in the snow. You know those times. But typically, when someone says back in the day or back in my day, they're not speaking about a specific 24-hour period, right? They're not saying back in my specific 24-hour period or back in this, the specific 24-hour period. They're speaking about a time period. And they're speaking about a time typically when they were younger, when they were able to do something. Here in Ephesians chapter 5, beginning verse 16, Paul used a very similar phrase when he says, the days are evil. Paul is not speaking about a specific series of 24-hour periods that were evil. He's not saying there's something evil done in just these specific, this series of 24 hours. He's not saying that these 24 hours actually did something evil. What Paul is saying is that this time, the time in which Paul is writing this letter to the Ephesians, he's saying this time is marked by evil. It's marked by a disregard for God. It's marked by a disregard for love, marked by a disregard for truth this time. And as I said earlier, it seems that Paul could have said those words directly to us 2,000 years later, because as we look around, we find that our time seems to be marked by a disregard for truth, where something like alternative facts is a real thing. Amen. Our time is marked by a disregard for life, a disregard for love, right? A disregard for unity. And so Paul says the same things to us that he says to the Ephesians. He says, because these days are evil, he says, be careful how you live. Yeah. Literally what he says is, take extra precaution with how you walk, how you move in this world as a Christian, because the days are evil. Amen. He says, and not only watch how you move, he says, but be wise with how you move. Employ wisdom with how you move in this world, because the days are evil. And he says, make the most of every opportunity. Literally, he says, carpe diem, seize the day. Seize the day to do what? He says, make the most of every opportunity, seize the day to display a faithful witness up to the love and character of Christ to a watching and dying world. Because the days are evil. And not only are the days evil, brothers and sisters, the days are short. One of the most beautiful things about us all being here together is that this is the only time we get to go around together. The time that we have and the people who share our time, you understand, it's so special. We are the only people who are going to share this moment right now together. No one else ever will. And so what Paul is saying, this time is short. This time is evil. Be careful how you move. Move wisely and make the most of every opportunity to display a faithful and attractive witness of the love of Christ to this watching and dying world. And he gives us three ways to do this. The first thing he says is this. He says, don't be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. In other words, Paul is telling the Ephesians, Paul is telling us, he says, don't live aimlessly. Don't live as if your life has no purpose. But understand how God would have you to live in this world, what he's requiring of you. This word here that says understand, it literally means to use your mental faculty to think, to consider, to do some digging, if you will, to learn how it is God would have you to move in this world. Amen. The reality is, on Sunday mornings, we're all in our Sunday best, right? If not physically in our attire, we want to, you know, we all think the same. We're all wanting to come here and worship the Lord, and it's pretty simple for us to be together, right? But that's very different from our Monday through Saturday, right? When we go to a job where not only may not be Christians, they may have no regard for Christ. And not only that, they may be against the thought of someone loving Christ and knowing Christ. How do we know what God desires of us in those situations? Well, in order to display a faithful witness of the love and character of Christ in those particular situations, it takes some digging, right? People don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. And it takes some work to go to that coworker who's been a little mean, who's been a little angry, who doesn't want to hear anything about Jesus, and learn what's going on in their life. When is their birthday? You know, what's important to them? You know, how can you care for them? How can you display the love of Christ to someone who seems to be so against it? It takes some work to do those things. Another part of this is when Paul says, don't be foolish. Psalm 14:1 says, only fools say in their heart, there is no God. Psalm 111:10 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Another aspect of understanding what God's will is to first honor God as God. Amen. And we come to do that, one, of course, by searching him in his word. But there's a very special way we do that, friends, when we come together, right? When we come together and we learn from each other's experiences, what is God doing in our life? How is he moving? You know, you're wondering how in your own job to love, to display the love of Christ. Why not ask your brothers and sisters how they're doing it? Amen. Ask your friends in your discipleship group, hey, listen, I'm having some issues being both competent as well as loving my friends. How have you done it? And get some ideas from the experiences of your brothers and sisters. So the first thing Paul says, if we would display a faithful and attractive witness of the love of Christ to a watching and dying world, is don't live aimlessly, but honor God and understand how he would have you to live. The second thing he says is this. He says, don't be filled with wine, which leads to debauchery. But instead, he says, to sing to each other with spiritual songs and hymns. In other words, Paul is saying explicitly, he's saying, avoid those things that mean to harm your witness, but pursue the things that display the faithful witness of the love and character of Christ. Namely, unity with your brothers and sisters. Friends, let me explain something to you. Nothing detracts from a faithful witness more than discord within the church. Yeah. I'll tell you a story. When I got out of college, my mouth is like extra dry this morning. I'm sorry. We're having luck. Babe, will you give me some water, please? I'm so sorry. Please, babe. Thank you. This recording is going to be something special today. All stuff going on. But when I got out of college, I started going to a local gym that recently opened, and I reunited with a friend of mine from middle school. I hadn't had contact with him since middle school, and we shared a desire for physical fitness, and we kind of piqued in each other a desire for a personal training and things of that nature, so we'd hold each other accountable. He was not a Christian. He knew that I was a Christian. He was kind of apathetic to faith or religion. Thank you so much, sweetie. I appreciate it. He was a little apathetic to the things of faith and religion, but he would entertain me whenever I would try to interject some love of Christ in between our sets of bench press and squats and things of that nature. And so, but one day he decided to extend somewhat of an olive branch and build some common ground. And he said, well, Leon, I did have this one positive experience with a Christian. He said, when I was in high school, my mom kicked me out of the house. And I didn't know where to go. I didn't know what I would do. But one of my really good friend's dad, he took me to his home, no questions asked. Said he fed me, he took care of me, he looked out for me. And I knew he was a Christian because he read his Bible all the time, he prayed all the time, and he went to church all the time. Well, he invited me to church a few times. I went a couple times. I never thought anything of it. He said one thing to me that stays with me to this day. He says, he told me, his name was Lehman. He says, if you would just trust God, if you would just do the right thing, God would bless you and work things out for you in your life. At that moment, I jumped all over him and was like, that's the problem with that bad theology. That's the problem with those false prophets and all that prosperity gospel telling you that if you do the right thing, God's obligated to bless you and blah, blah, blah. And Lehman, as quietly as he can, just cut me off and he said, hey, Leon, listen. I don't know anything about that theology and prosperity gospel, any of that stuff you're talking about. All I know is this man said he was a Christian and he loved me and looked out for me. At that point, I felt about this small. I felt about this big. Because instead of me taking the opportunity, seizing the opportunity to water the seed of the love of Christ that this man had sowed in my friend's life, I jumped on him and decided to cut him down. And my friend looked at me and thought, why would I want anything to do with this Christianity when one person who says he's a Christian loves me and takes care of me, and the next person who says he's a Christian wants to chop him down? Brothers and sisters, it is our unity that displays the greatest example of the love and character of Christ to this watching and dying world. In these days, these evil days, let us take every opportunity to display that unity, friends. Amen? Every opportunity to display that unity. Another really beautiful thing that Paul says here, which may seem a little strange, is he says, sing to each other with spiritual songs and hymns. One time a pastor, he challenged me, he said, Leon, when you're worshiping on Sunday morning, he says, sing unto the Lord with a huge smile. And he says, every once in a while, look around the church. And he says, lock eyes with someone who isn't singing. He says, lock eyes and smile and sing the words of the worship song to them. And see if they don't start smiling. And see if they don't start singing unto the Lord. Amen. And that should be emblematic of our life together, that we should so encourage one another that when we get together, friends, whatever's weighing us down melts off of us and our hearts are lifted up unto the Lord. Amen. Sing to each other in spiritual songs and hymns. And lastly, friends, lastly, he says this. He says, in everything, give thanks to God in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, Paul is telling them this, view the world through Jesus-colored lenses. Friends, it does us absolutely no good to walk around a dark world with dark shades on. Amen. But when we can look at this world through the lens of Christ, we can see that Jesus is the hope to the hopeless. Amen. When we look at this world through the lens of Christ, we can see that Jesus is the light in the darkness. Amen. When we look at this world through the lens of Christ, we can look and see where it seems to be no way out. We can see that Jesus is the way out of no way. We can see that he is the way out of no way maker. Amen. When we look at this broken world through the lens of Christ, we can see that Jesus is making all things new. And brothers and sisters, that includes me and you this morning. Amen. But look at this world through the lens of Christ, and you will have no choice but to give thanks to God in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Friends, I'm not going to hold you here very long at all this morning. I'm going to end with this right here. This morning, you may be here and say, I don't know what it means. I don't know what it means to have Jesus as my hope. I don't know what it means to have Jesus as a light in my darkness. You say, I don't know what it means to know that Jesus is the way out of no way. And this morning, you can know him as that. You can have Jesus come and make his home with you. And all you do is you turn to him, you say, Lord Jesus, I believe. Will you forgive me of my sins? Would you come and be my hope, be my way, be my light, and help me to live as a faithful witness of your love and your goodness to this watching and dying world. Amen. Amen, friends. Would you please pray with me? Lord God, thank you for your kindness. Thank that you have come, you have died, and thank you that you rose, and you're coming back to make all things new. May the hope of you making all things new, of you reconciling all things to yourself, Father, may that be the impetus, may that be the power behind us living a life to change this world, Lord God, to impact this world for the sake of your kingdom, that others may know you and love you. It's in Jesus' name. Amen.